Let us pray together. O loving Father, as we hear now from your word, your living word, please take away our fears, our guilts, and our worries. Please help us to see and hear our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us from heaven, his words of love and mercy. Lord, please bring his grace and plant it in our hearts, we pray, forever for his sake. Amen. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 11 from verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, from verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Brothers and sisters, do you ever find it hard to begin praying? Perhaps you seek out a certain place to pray, a quiet room in your home, or you kneel by your bedside, and you might take a few moments to quietly reflect and prepare your thoughts, or read a Bible passage and prepare to pray. But then as you close your eyes, or perhaps bend down or put your hands together, you find your mind goes blank. And your heart feels cold and empty. And you feel unable to find the words. And perhaps either a million or one thoughts flood into your mind and distract you, all the errands you've got to do later that day. Or you find yourself full of doubts. Am I doing this right? Does prayer really work? Is God really there? And then perhaps after a few minutes of struggling and striving to pray, you walk away feeling dissatisfied. And that you feel that maybe you haven't even really begun to pray. Maybe you even feel guilty, a failure at prayer. Do you ever find it hard to begin praying? But then let me ask the question in a greater sense. If you have never prayed before, or only very infrequently, the whole idea of prayer can seem difficult. Perhaps you're new to the Christian life, and this whole idea of prayer is a mystery. What is prayer about? What are you supposed to do? How does it work? Is there a certain way to pray? How do you begin to pray? Well, that's what I want to show you this morning from the scripture. How do you begin to pray? Whether it's your first time ever, or you just want to know day to day, how do you begin to pray? And so I want to show you the very first thing to say, the very first thing to pray for. And I believe it's the key to being a prayerful Christian. The first thing to do is say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our scripture this morning in Luke 11 is all about the importance of prayer for being a Christian. The disciples had observed Jesus praying. And so they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Now that's referring, of course, to John the Baptist, who had been the forerunner for Jesus and had had his own disciples getting them ready for Christ. And the Gospels and the letter to the Hebrews in particular all record how often Jesus prayed. Frequently, fervently. He would rise up early to go and pray, or he prayed throughout the night. He would go to deserted places to pray. He prayed, the Gospels record, before all the important moments in his life. Before he called the apostles. Before he raised from the dead. And supremely, as we heard, before facing the cross. The Lord Jesus was and is the greatest man of prayer who has ever lived. Hebrews 5 verse 7 even seems to say that Christ was raised from the dead in a response to his prayers. So watching him day after day, praying so powerfully, the disciples ask, teach us to pray. And the place you need to start is follow their example. Start by saying, Lord, teach us. Now they, when they said this, they may not have fully understood at that moment that the Lord Jesus was and is fully God. And they may have just thought that they were requesting this of their teacher. But it's undoubtedly a prayer. It was a prayer to their God. Teach us. And I want to show you that there's a lot of encouragement for you and for me in these words. Teach us to pray. If we look at them first as a whole and then in two parts. So let me suggest to you our first thought. Prayer begins with a cry for help. Prayer begins when you cry for help. Lord, teach us to pray is a cry for help. What the disciples get so right is that they start off praying with humility. They acknowledge that they need God's help even to pray in the first place. Prayer is not easy. It is the most demanding and most spiritual. It is the most searching, the most taxing thing you will ever do in your whole life. That's how hard prayer is. It is the hardest thing you will ever do. If you were to say to me this morning, you find prayer easy and it's not a struggle, I don't think you're really praying. To paraphrase another scripture, if anyone thinks that he can pray at all, then he does not pray as he ought to at all. Think about what prayer is. Prayer is not just a matter of reciting a few words from a book, a prayer book, no matter how helpful that is. It is not just to bow your head and unburden your mind and then jump up and feel refreshed, as if prayer is just a psychological release to make yourself feel better. Prayer is not emptying your mind to have some kind of mystical experience. It is possible to perform prayer outwardly and yet not really pray. Because what is prayer? Prayer is to talk to God. Prayer is to talk to God. To Almighty, infinite God, the Holy One. The triune Father, Son, and Spirit, who is eternal. The sovereign Lord, who knows your heart, who is everywhere, who knows everything. It is to speak to the one who is so holy and awesome that even the angels in heaven don't dare to look at him face to face, but they cover their faces in his glorious presence, even though they've never sinned. It is to speak to your Creator. He's the one who formed the world in 6 days. And who at every moment is upholding everything. Who's putting breath in your lungs. It's to speak to the one who is an all-consuming fire. Who will judge you. Who creates light and darkness and who speaks and it is. So who are you to talk to him? Who are you to talk to such an awesome God? Now there's no doubt he commands us to talk to him. But with what words can you speak to such an awesome and powerful God? You are a mere creature. You were made from the dust of the earth. To dust you will return. You exist for just a moment, and there's so much that we don't know or understand. He knows the words that you will say before you do. He knows everything from beginning to end. So who are you to speak to God? And even more, you are a sinner. You are a person who has rejected the law of this holy God. You've resisted his rule. You have not honored his full worth and glory. You've not done justice and loved mercy and shown grace to others. You have taken his name in vain. You have told lies. And now with those same lips, you're going to speak to this holy God? So the only way to begin praying is to cry out for help. Do you see the enormous difficulty of what prayer is? You need his grace and his strength to be able to speak to him at all. Only his divine power is great enough to hold you up to come to him. So prayer begins when you cry for help. What an incredible thing prayer is. So the way to begin praying is come with nothing in your hands, depending that every good thought and every good thing comes from him. To admit that you are spiritually bankrupt and only his grace can help you pray. Lord, teach us to pray. True prayer begins with this humility because it should reflect what the whole of the Christian life is about. The whole Christian life is a process of getting humbler and humbler, knowing your need and the greatness of God. So, practically, when you begin praying, you need to begin by thinking about the greatness of God and the greatness of your need. Think about the awesome glory and power of God. Let that thought bring you down to your knees. And then you will begin to pray. The scriptures tell us in 2 Chronicles how the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon when he was at the height of his power and glory. And that Solomon put on a lavish banquet with food from all around the world. And she saw the gold that covered the temple. She saw his magnificent palace. She saw the wisdom with which he ruled the people. And the scripture says, and there was no breath left in her. She saw the glory. And she felt so humbled. That's where to begin in prayer, before the glory of our King, the Lord God. So begin to pray with a cry for help. Lord, help us to pray. But then secondly, if we look at the second half of what the disciples say. Prayer begins when you have a childlike confidence in God. Prayer begins when you have a childlike confidence in God. Consider that the disciples say, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. They're saying, Lord, teach us the way that John taught his followers. Now, in those days, to be somebody's disciple meant more than just learning their message. It meant to follow their life, to live with them, and to copy and emulate their whole way of living. John had taught his disciples to pray, and he'd modeled prayer. So his disciples would have copied his prayer. Their way of praying was shaped by how John prayed. So when they're saying, teach us like this, Jesus, they're saying, teach us how to pray the way you pray. We want to pray like you, Jesus, so that people will know that we're your disciples. Because there's something about our prayers that's like yours. The spirit of them, the content of them. It's a Jesus-like prayer. There's always the longing in a Christian's heart to be more like Jesus in every way. And even in prayer. So what is the Christ-like approach to prayer? What makes a prayer like Jesus distinctively Christian? What was it specifically about the prayers of Jesus that was different from the prayers of John? What was it that was that they were looking at and seeing and wanting to copy? Perhaps if you've never prayed, or you prayed before being a Christian and now you're a Christian, how should your prayers be different now that you're a Christian? You see, I suspect that lots of Christians pray, but they're not really praying as Christians in the Christian way. If you see what I mean. Well, the answer is to pray with childlike confidence. That's what marked out the prayers of Jesus. And that's the note, the tone, the fragrance of what our prayers should be. This is what was so striking about the prayers of Jesus. A childlike confidence, a trust, an assurance in his relationship with God. He prayed knowing God heard him. He prayed knowing that God loved him and accepted him and was pleased to hear his prayer. Now, he always showed honour to God, reverence. But he always prayed in a way that showed he knew he could come to God, that he was truly loved. He calls God Father, my Father. He doesn't pray to an unknown God or to some vague being in the sky. He doesn't cringe in guilty fear or speak like a stranger. He speaks like a child to a loving Father, confident of his love. Just look at any of the prayers you have of Christ in Scripture, with the one exception of his cry on the cross when he was suffering the wrath of God. And you'll find this tone. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Father. And our. Our. It's possessive. It's a sense of ownership and of knowing that we belong to God. Or just look back to chapter 10 in Luke. It records there another prayer of Christ and how he speaks about his Father and his goodness. Or consider how he prays outside the tomb of Lazarus in John 11. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What confidence, what childlike trust. And I know that you always hear me. He comes to God as one of his children, to a Father who receives him. That's what is different about Christian prayer. Let me give you a little picture of the spirit I'm describing. I don't know if you've ever seen with our little boy Wesley, but now that he's started to walk, when he's down on the floor, he does this. Because he knows that Kristen and I will always be there to hold his hand, and so he's got that balance to run and walk. And now, he's got to the point, he doesn't even look at us anymore, he's doing whatever he wants, and when he's ready to get up, he just goes... There's that assurance, that trust will be there. It's that spirit of Father that marks out a Christian's prayer. Because, by the grace of God, if we are Christ's, we have the same relationship with God that he does. Shouldn't that astonish us? Christ came to make us God's children. He bridges this gap between this holy, awesome God we've been thinking about in our first point, with who we are as weak creatures. And he gives us this status of sons of God. He has taken our sins away on the cross. We're forgiven. Forgiven all. And now we stand in him as God's beloved children. So hear this. When you come to pray, God delights in your prayers. God hears your prayers. God is there to hear and receive and answer your prayers because you come to him in Christ. This is the glory of the gospel, this new relationship we have that we're adopted. So when you are a Christian, you are not a stranger to God. You are his little child, dearly loved. Christian prayer, to be truly, fully Christian, is to pray to the Father with this confidence. As he says later on in verse 13, he chides us for our unbelief. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Don't we need to hear that rebuke? How often do we pray in a spirit of fear and bondage, thinking God is not wanting to hear us, is not wanting to answer, or thinking that he's there to accuse us and condemn us? But in Christ, we're his little children. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 8, you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So to pray like Jesus means that your prayers are not about trying to earn something from God. You're not trying to make yourself right with God or to pacify him. You are coming to enjoy a Father's love, to hold out His hand, your hand for blessing, to know that He's got good gifts to give you. I came across this story of a missionary, Dr. Helen Rosevere, who worked in Zambia. She worked in a remote and very impoverished village. She tells a story of how one terrible day, a mother died giving birth to a premature baby. And the baby was very weak and the nights were cold. She gathered in the other children, the other orphans that she cared for, to pray that somehow they would be given a source of heat to be able to care for this baby. Something like a hot water bottle is just what the baby needed. That very afternoon, a package arrived from England that had been sent 5 months previously. And sure enough, in the package was a hot water bottle. But then she records, one of the little children said, "Well, if God has sent the bottle, He must have sent some dolls too." And sure enough, inside were dolls for the children to play with. Now, I'm not saying that God always answers all our prayers so specifically. But in that child, do you see the spirit of Christian prayer? If He's given me this, well, surely He's going to give me this as well. Absolute trust. That's how we begin to pray. So hear this, even when you pray poorly, even when you're mumbling over your words and it's a struggle and you're not quite sure what to pray for, the Lord still hears and delights in your prayers, like a father delights in his baby's babble. When you sin, don't let your sin keep you from praying. Let it drive you to pray. Because your Father is the one you need to go to for forgiveness and restoration. So here's how you must begin. Think about the gospel. Think about the love of the Father. Forgiveness in Christ. His fatherly care, His heart of love to you. Think about His awesome majesty. Think about His tender fatherly care. This is how to begin to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Very quickly, a quote by J.I. Packer in the book Knowing God. You sum up the whole of New Testament religion if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well at all. But then third and briefly, prayer begins when you submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us." The first part of their request is that they are submitting faithfully to Christ. Lord, they call him. Teach us. We submit to your direction, Lord. Command us. Instruct us. We will do as you say. And you and I must call on the Lord in the same spirit, with a fuller understanding than they had, that Jesus is Lord. He is the Son of God, the incarnate God-man, Lord of all. What I'm trying to say to you through all of this morning is learning to pray is not about a technique or formula. It's not about following somebody else's pattern. Prayer begins in your heart when you wholly and unreservedly give yourself to Christ. That there is a moral dimension to prayer. You cannot pray. You cannot pray if you live a life at odds with God. Only when you give yourself to Christ as Savior and Lord fully can you really begin to pray. Psalm 66 verse 18 states, "If I had regarded sin in my heart, the Lord would not hear me." Now that doesn't mean that if you ever sin, God doesn't hear your prayers, because we all sin daily. No, it means if I had regarded sin in my heart, cherished it, clung on to it, held on to it, if I was living in disobedience to God and actively resisting His will. So the way to really begin to pray is repent. Repent of all your sin. Fully give your all to serving Christ. He alone is the mediator between us and God. And he commands that we give our whole selves to him. If you find it hard to begin to pray, could it be because you have not given yourself over to Christ? Do you need to repent this morning and say, Jesus is Lord? And notice, we are to submit together to Christ. Teach us, he says. Prayer begins when we gather together as the church, as the people of Christ. You will begin to pray when you honour the church, when you take part in the prayers of the church. You see, today, we tend to think about our own personal prayers just by ourselves first, and that then we bring that and we join together in the church to pray. Now, that's not biblical, and it's backwards. The biblical perspective is that real prayer, the heart of prayer, begins when we are gathered here together as the church. And then your personal prayers are just the extension and the flowing on of the prayers of the church. To submit to Christ is to submit to the church. To be willing to learn in the church, commit to the church, to pray in the church. Now hear this, because I want to challenge you. If you do not value and commit to the corporate prayer of the church, including its prayer meeting, you will never get anywhere praying on your own. Let me show you how differently Christians used to think about this. Let me give you a quote from Calvin, one of the leaders of the Reformers. He says, "Whoever refuses or neglects to pray in the holy assembly of the godly knows not what it is to pray individually or in a secret place in the home." Now, isn't that different? Doesn't that strike us? Is it possible you struggle to pray because you've neglected the us, the praying together as the church? In the Lord's Day services, morning and evening, how important our prayer together is, or the prayer meeting week to week. But you must submit to Christ and his church if we want to begin to pray. And it is to submit to Christ's word, his scriptures, the Bible. Christ rules over us through his word. So the way to begin to pray, and again, here is a practical thought, is study the scriptures. Study what the Bible says about prayer. Study what Christ teaches. Look at the examples of prayer in the Bible. Pray them. You can turn to the Psalms. If you can't find the words, pray the Psalms. Or better yet, go through a passage in the scripture and as you study it, ask, well, what does this tell me about God? What can I pray about God and thank him for in this? What blessings does this passage promise that I can seek? What demands does it make of me that I need to pray that happen and change in me? What are the needs for others does it point me to that I should pray for? Submit to the word and you'll begin to pray. With these three thoughts today about beginning to pray, I hope what you've seen is that the most important thing about prayer is it is about your heart. It's not about the outward form, the articulate words, following techniques or rules, or somebody else's pattern or book. It is to speak from your heart to God. And prayer begins when your heart is right with God. When you humbly confess your spiritual poverty and how you need grace to pray. When you believe in Jesus Christ and have confidence that in him God is your Father. And when you submit to Christ to love and obey him. That's what you are saying when you say, Lord, teach me to pray. So do you want to begin to really pray? Then is your heart right with God today? When you pray, Lord, teach me to pray, teach us to pray, you're saying, Lord, change my heart. Do a deeper work in me. I don't want to be a superficial, surface level Christian who never really gets into the depths of prayer or the depths of a real walk with you. Lord, change my heart. Make me a real Christian. Teach us how to pray. I pray that you will be challenged to seek the Lord in that way this week. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a glorious and wondrous privilege it is to speak to you, to bring you our needs, to rejoice in your love, to seek your will. But Lord, we confess how difficult we do find prayer, and how, Lord, that is a sad reflection on our spiritual weakness. Oh Lord, please make us a praying people. Teach us how to pray. Change our hearts. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.